two tribes. And Assyria is the world's superpower. And Assyria is on the march. And Hosea says, unless we turn to God, we are going to be defeated by Assyria, and they will lead us into exile. So we're at the 11th hour, we're at 5 to 12. The Assyrians are already marching, which is what Hosea is saying. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we might live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. So, if you have your Bibles, you can keep them open at that passage, and we're going to be looking at it. And the theme is, God loves to restore. And that's what he's telling Hosea, and that's what he's telling us. God loves to heal people. So, if people are in a mess, maybe their marriage is in a mess, God loves to restore them. If people are hurting because of quarrels in the church or anything else, God loves to heal sinners. God delights in restoring. So let me tell you the chapter before. Chapter 5, God had warned Israel that they had gone too far. And in verse 12 of chapter 5, it says, like a moth destroys a garment, I am going to destroy Israel. Like rottenness destroys a beam, I am going to destroy Israel. I will be like an iron and tear Israel to pieces. Now, that's what God is saying. And then Hosea speaks these wonderful words. God says, at the end of chapter 5, my patience has run out. I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. So that's God withdrawing from his people under judgment. Now Hosea comes out with this wonderful prayer. He is telling the people of Israel what to pray. God has put these words in Hosea's mouth. Now, the Scots, my wife is a Scot, I lived in Scotland for 10 years, they put the Bible into music. They call them paraphrases. And if you go to the Free Kirk in Scotland, you'll say nothing but the Psalms and paraphrases. Now, in Baptist churches, they might have one paraphrase a week. So, this was put to music. I used to sing it in my father's church. At that time, I was a rebellious teenager. I was doing my own thing. I didn't want to listen to God. And yet, as I heard it sung, these verses sung. It was as if God was opening a door for me, as if God was saying, Peter, as you can still come back to me. So I'll read to you the Scottish paraphrase. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, no leave the desolate to mourn. Long hath the night of sorrow reigned. The dawn shall bring us light. God shall appear, and we shall rise with gladness in his sight. So one more verse, it says, two verses. Our hearts, if God, we seek to know. shall know him and rejoice. His coming like the morn shall be, like morning songs his voice. So shall his presence bless our souls and shed a joyful light. That hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night, from guilt to living in the glorious love and presence of God. So God has left the door open for the people of Holyhead. If they take this prayer on their lips, God loves to restore them. But God wants us all, not just to read it, but to experience God's love tonight. So if you are hurting, be confident. God wants to heal. And if you are far away from God, use this prayer and you can come into his presence. God offers speedy relief to those who come to him in repentance. And Hosea has written this beautiful prayer. It is beautiful because it says, even at the 1 minute to disaster, God loves to restore his people. And it starts with an invitation, come. And Jesus took up that word, didn't he? Come to me. So come, if you come to church, come to God. And notice that Hosea includes himself. I'm a sinner too. He doesn't say that, but up there, they are rebels. He includes himself. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He's injured us, but he will bind up his wounds. So, in chapter 5, God says that I will be like a lion to Ephraim. Ephraim is just another name for the northern kingdom. Israel are like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them in pieces and go away. So why does God want to tear to pieces his beloved people? He loves his people. Well, God chose Israel. God wanted to make them into a great nation. And God wanted them to live in happy fellowship with himself. And God made a covenant with his people. We can celebrate later on Jesus' covenant with us. Here is part of the covenant from Deuteronomy. If you do not obey the Lord your God, and do not carefully follow all his commands, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country, cursed in your basket, cursed in the fruit of your womb, in your crops, your flocks, and your herds. So when we dump God and when Britain dumps God, there are consequences. And we are seeing them in our society today. When a person, an individual, dumps God, there are consequences in the way he thinks, in his work, in his relationships, at home. God's words always come true. And he tells us, if we desert him, if we dump him, there are horrible consequences. Now, God led Israel, the nation of Israel, into the land of Israel, let's say 1380 BC, that's when Joshua was around. Hosea is writing in 750 BC. So for 630 years, God had been saying to his people, don't worship the Baals, worship me. So what was the attraction of Baal? Well, Baal was a fertility god. And if you wanted an increase in your crops, worship Baal. If you wanted your flocks, your sheep, your cows to increase, worship Baal. If you want your wife to have lots of children, worship Baal. So if you worship Baal, there's a promise that you'd get richer and that you would be more powerful. Now, unfortunately, in order to worship this fertility god, you had practice sex. So at the shrines of Baal, there were male and female prostitutes. So Judah, Israel, was going to these prostitutes. So Amos cries out in shame, look what's happening. The father and the son are both lying with the same girl. So for 630 years, God had pleaded with his people, quit Baal and worship me. I will be a father to you. I will bless you. So we celebrate that Jesus was torn that we might be healed tonight. Jesus was injured so that he could bandage up our wounds. By his wounds, you have been healed, says Peter. To experience healing, take Hosea's prayer on your lips. Hosea's invitation, come, let us return to the Lord. Come to Jesus tonight. And if you take these words and mean them, you can be confident of God's love. So Christian, if you're having a difficult time, God permits you to have a difficult time so that you would love him more and love the world less, that you would turn to God in your difficulty. Being confident that God is a healer who bandages up well our hurts. If you're not yet a Christian, use Hosea's prayer. And if you need it, accept the invitation. Come. So that's my first point. Hosea is saying to people on the brink of war, come to God. And his second point is that God will help you quickly. God will help you speedily. Now, we lament the slowness of our ambulances, people with a pain in the chest, they might have a heart attack, and they phone 999, and sometimes they're waiting hours. And sometimes the poor guy dies before the ambulance can get there. Even if the ambulance comes, the waiting times, see a doctor in A&E, they're horrendous. My daughter-in-law went recently, and I think it was 19 hours. She had to wait to see a doctor. So our A&E, an ambulance might be slow, but Hosea is confident that God responds speedily if we repent. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we might live in his presence. So when you come to God and say, oh God, I am sorry for ignoring you. I am sorry for going my own way. I really want to live my life to please you. God does not delay. He gives you the assurance in your heart that you are greatly loved. And he will fill you with wonder that God who made heaven and earth should love little innocent you, insignificant you. You know the witness of the Holy Spirit. You don't just read it in the Bible. You have that witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. So God comes at once today, he says, Jesus said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And we sing a hymn with that, I can be sure we sang it in this church, and it says, the vilest offender that truly believes, that moment when Jesus a pardon receives, that moment you come to Jesus in repentance, that moment you pray this prayer, and the Holy Spirit will speed from heaven and come to Holyhead and come to your heart. And people will notice a difference. So, this church was founded by Spurgeon. We had a lot to do with it. But Spurgeon was a remarkable man. He was a pastor at the age of 16 and had never been to a Baptist college. Okay, but he was concerned that people in Holyhead, the Irish who spoke only English, could not go to church because all the churches were Welsh. So he
I don't know what he did, but he helped this church to come into existence. Now, before Spurgeon was converted, when he was still rebelling against God, he set out one Sunday to walk to a Baptist church. And it began to snow, and snow heavy. So he popped in to a Methodist church, and a layman was preaching, and he said, he was a poor preacher, all he could do was repeat his text. This text came from Isaiah, "Look unto me and be saved." But Spurgeon, that teenager, looked to God that night and asked God for his salvation, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he went home, and his mother said to his dad, "There is something different about Charles." The hallelujah bird was singing in Charles Spurgeon's heart. So that's probably the greatest preacher that Britain has produced. And that's how it happened. A young teenager looking to God and trusting God for salvation. And then says that we might live in his presence. So when you pray this prayer, that begins a happy relationship with God, and you never on your own. Again, wherever country you come from, you live in the presence of God. And that's the joy of being a Christian. So Israel's situation. They carry on worshipping the Baals. They wanted money, bigger crops, bigger herds. Yes. And they wanted the sex with the girls in the Baal's shrine. So very soon, Assyria will invade, and Israel will be deported, and the ten tribes that make up northern Israel will disappear and will never be a country, a state again. Later on, there were two tribes left, remember, Judah and Benjamin down the south, and this one they call themselves Israel. So what we call Israel is mainly Judah and Benjamin. But there are ones and twos of the ten tribes mixed in there. So come, turn to God, and he will respond speedily. Now, every year, people make estimates of how safe our world is. They look at how many nations have atomic bombs, and they have a clock, and they say the world is just 5 minutes from blowing itself to pieces. Well, this year they move the minute hand a little nearer, so we are 3 minutes from some nutter pressing the button and setting off atomic warfare. So what's happening here is Israel is minutes from war, from invasion. So Christ rose on the third day, and that's what they, Hosea says, we can call on God, and if we come to him in repentance, he will speedily send his Holy Spirit to help us. So my first point was come to God. And my second point is God loves to restore, and he'll do it quickly if we repent. The key is repentance. Now, my third point, terms and conditions. So we listen to adverts on the radio or on the telly, and they say, you can come on this wonderful holiday, you can have a loan, and then quickly they say at the end, terms and conditions will apply. So God says, come, and you can know what it is to live in my presence, but there are terms and conditions, and he spells them out here. Let us acknowledge God. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. So, first term and condition is let us acknowledge the Lord. That means coming to him in prayer and being honest. Jesus, you are my Lord. I submit to you.
I submit every part of my life to you. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's acknowledging God as your Savior. So if you want to know God's presence, first turn is come. Let us acknowledge God. Turning to God and say, God, you are the boss. I'm doing a course with young people, Christianity Explored, and then it defines sin as this. I say to God in my heart, shove off, God. I'm in charge. I am, not you. Sin is, I'm going to do it my way, not God's way. To acknowledge God reverses that. God, you made me, you know what's best for me, and you've revealed your way in Scripture. And I acknowledge your word is truth, and I'm going to base my life on it. So that's the first condition. And the second one is, let us press on to acknowledging. So don't sit around in church waiting for God to zap you. Press on. Put some effort, some worry into it. Like an athlete. Oh, running, I can see the tape at the end of the race. And I'm almost clawing the air to get there. Press on to know God. And that means you expose yourself to clear Bible teaching. I know there's lots of preachers will say nice things to you, but if you want to know God, you've got to expose yourself to what the Bible says. You meet with God's people, and you make that a priority. You are at the prayer meeting. If you want God to reverse the decline in this church or in any other church, be at the prayer meeting. And you learn to understand what DDD stands for, daily dogged discipline. I begin the day with reading the Bible and praying, even though I feel tired and I don't want to do it, I read the Bible. DDD, daily dogged discipline. Pressing on to know God means I adopt that. Now, there's a very good preacher. He's in Sheffield, and his name is Tim Chester. And if you want some good books, read Tim Chester's books. Anyway, he says, if you really want to press on to know God, love your brothers and sisters who are in your church. Look around the church. And take responsibility for one another. If someone needs help, help them. Go and see them. Take responsibility for this church, not just leave it to the deacons. If there are jobs to be done, get on with it. First job is to pray. You might say the washing up needs to be done. And that might need to be a welcome knock on the door. If there's any conflict in the church, resolve it. Care for each other's needs. If you really want to press on to know God, you've got to learn to love one another. And don't sit there fretting over the weaknesses of New Park Street. New Park Street is not perfect. I've been the pastor of 5 churches, and there's not a perfect church in Britain or in the world. All churches are made up of hurting, busy, struggling people. So don't complain that this church doesn't meet your needs. Don't berate people. Love them and enjoy them. So New Park Street is an amazing church. There are many other societies in Holyhead. But this is the place where God's people meet. This is the place where Jesus is in our midst. This is the place where the lonely can find the love of Jesus, where the lonely can find a home. This is the place where broken people can be restored. Remember, I told you, God loves to restore. So this church is beautiful because God lives here. And we stretch out a hand with the gospel. Press on to acknowledge God. And that means we love one another. Now, we'll say later on in the communion, I'll read words from the institution of the communion, when it says, recognize the body of Christ. Well, there are harsh words if you don't recognize the body of Christ. Now, one of the things that means is that I look around the church, and I might not like that person, and that person might get on my nerves, but it is converted. If Jesus lives in her, I must recognize that. They are my brother and sister in Christ, and I'm going to do what I can to help them. So, here's Hosea's confidence. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. Come to repentance. It's as sure as the sun rising, God will appear. Now, before I was here, I was pastor of the church in Grimsby, and the weather forecaster on the Look North television, he was so struck by God's creation. The sun, he would say, will rise at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And he is so keen that science is reliable. He could tell you the minute the sun would rise 6 months, 6 years ahead. Sun will arise, you could say, and you still have to love. Hosea says, if you come to God in repentance, God will appear. You will know his help. That's the confidence Hosea has. If you repent and come to God, God cannot break his promise. God will help those who diligently seek him, those who come to him in prayer. So, Hosea wants to show how wonderful this coming of God is, like how refreshing, how it fills people with joy. So he says, he will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth. Now, we get a bit too much rain in Wales, but Israel is a hot country. I remember crossing from Jerusalem, and then you go down a deep valley, and then you're in the Judean desert. And all you've got is bare, burning rock and sand. You will not find any green. I was amazed to see a goat standing on its hind legs trying to get at the leaves at the top of a tree. That was the only tree, and that was the only bit of green. And it was in those caves that they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, the people of Israel longed for rain. They weren't like us. So the winter rain refers to the rain that comes mid-October or late October when you put the seeds into the ground. If there's no rain, those seeds will not germinate. They will just lie in the ground. So that winter rain is so important to get the wheat seeds and the barley seeds split and begin to grow. And the farmer would say, well, joy, what do you like me? We're not going to be hungry next year. And then the latter rain, that comes in April now, April or May. And by now there are peapods and there are stalks with seeds of wheat on them. And it needs that rain to fill the peas out so they mature and to fill the seeds out on the stalks of wheat or barley. And what Hosea is saying, God's presence, when you come to him like that, it is refreshing. It fills you with joy. Like the rain fills the farmers with joy. It gives you a hope. And you say, thank you, God. And Jesus says, I have come with him. I have life and have it to the full. And when you come to God in repentance, and you acknowledge him as Lord of all your life, then you begin to know that life to the full. So the terms and conditions. Acknowledge God, you press, you're eager, you give it some worry to get to know him, and God will come to you. So those are the terms and conditions. Hosea's beautiful prayer
It's a model for anyone who wants to know God. Make it your own. Now my last point fills me with sadness because the people of Israel did not return to God. Yes, they said, they might have said this prayer, but there was no change in behavior. John 1 in this chapter to say, your devotion is like the morning mist. You get out of bed in the morning, you walk on the grass and the dew makes your shoes wet. But by 10 o'clock when the sun has come up, the dew is gone, the moisture is gone. And that's what your prayers are like, Israel. You say nice words in the temple, you even use beautiful prayers, but it's no change in behavior. And so, God is not caught by words that don't have any backing with behavior. So, the people of Israel did not reject Baal. They wanted the bigger crops, bigger, more money. And it took the exile to get rid of idols, Baals, from God's people. They were common for hundreds of years before the exile. And it took the exile to rid God's people of Baals and these idols. God loved his people and he used that to get rid of them, to purify them. And so for us, let's learn, if you really want to know God, and I hope you do, every sin must be confessed and turned from before we can enjoy God's presence, before we can know the witness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God longs to heal, God longs to restore, God longs to forgive, God opens up the possibility for you to have fellowship with him. But you've got to quit a sinful lifestyle. So if King Charles came to your house, I bet you or your wife would hoover and dust and polish. Dirt had to go out before the king could come in. And it's the same with your life. You get the dirt out and then King Jesus can come in. And God warns time and time again, he will punish those who refuse to repent. And so Assyria invaded Israel. Their capital, Samaria, was burnt in 722. And the Israelites were transported to what we now call Iraq. And the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, were never heard of again. Incidentally, if you ever go to the British Museum in London, there's a whole wall which tells the story of Assyria's invasion of Israel. And it's there in the British Library. You just look at these stone reliefs on the kings, the first ones, Dila, the lesser. And each of them tells the story how they invaded each city in Israel. So it's there in history. So only two tribes are left, Benjamin and Judah. So the question is, which is it going to be for you? It's only two alternatives. Will you carry on resisting God? There is no heaven for those who resist God. After death, judgments, you will hear these terrible words, depart from me to eternal punishment. That's one choice. The other choice is, I've read Hosea's beautiful prayer, I'm going to make it my own. It's a model for me. I'm going to come to God in repentance. And I'm asking God to heal and to bandage up my wounds. And you will know the joy of living in God's presence, and you all starts when you acknowledge God as your Lord, as the boss of every part of your life. So, which choice are you going to make? tonight.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you're a God of mercy and that you long to heal and long to restore. Help us when we come to worship you to be honest. Help us to be thorough in confessing our sins and turning from them. And thank you for the joy of living in the presence of God when you cause us to sing with joy. And I pray that for each person gathered here tonight. Amen.